opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers.
Activist Radio is on the air.
You've tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win. All right!
If you don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
He was an American hero. A pro-life hero. Who shaped the United States Supreme Court for 30 years. That's right. You know I'm talking about the passing of Justice Antonin Scalia. We are turning the page on a generation of men who shaped America, and conservative men like Antonin Scalia, who would have been, in November, would have been his 30th year on the United States Supreme Court. And what Ronald Reagan was to the presidency, Antonin Scalia was to the United States Supreme Court. He not only was a conservative jurist, an originalist, if you want to call him that, someone who believed in the strict interpretation of the United States Constitution, he was all those things. And his opinions, you know, were one of the most, you know, people would say, thought through, eloquent, I mean, to the point, legal documents that have ever come out of the U.S. Supreme Court. That's all true. But Scalia was also a spokesperson. He was an advocate for not only just constitutional interpretation, but for the preborn. And in that, we lost a champion by his passing. And it was interesting. I don't know if you guys follow this like I do. I'm kind of a political junkie, as you can imagine. But on the same day that Scalia passed away, they had a so-called debate between the Republican candidates for the nomination of the GOP. And you had Donald Trump and you had Marco Rubio and all the rest of them up there, Ted Cruz. And I read a piece that basically said conservatism died on a ranch in Texas and on the stage in South Carolina. In other words, we lost conservatism in two ways. We lost Antonin Scalia. And then with the advent of Donald Trump in this campaign for president, we've also lost conservatism. I mean, I was embarrassed as an American to watch this catfight, this screaming kind of hissy fit that Donald Trump put up against the rest of the Republican candidates. I've never seen anything like it in my days. And so it was a sad day overall that we lost Scalia and then we lost conservatism on a stage in South Carolina with a so-called debate of the Republican candidates for president. But everyone's talking about what a great man he was, and it's all true. But what's very unique about Scalia also was his relationship with Justice Ginsburg. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, probably the most liberal on the United States Supreme Court. And they couldn't have been more different on their views politically regarding a lot of issues. And yet, at the same time, they were best of friends. Ginsburg and Scalia, on opposite sides of the political spectrum, found time to have a relationship, a good one, where they both appreciated each other, loved each other, I think. And that, to me, was very telling, again, of a generation of Americans that can disagree with one another on really important issues, but yet maintain a civility, an ability to be winsome, to not let those disagreements make them disagreeable. And so in that sense, I think that's passing as well. We just don't see that anymore. And we certainly don't see it in this election cycle, especially with the advent of Donald Trump on the stage in South Carolina and onward. It's very, very disappointing. But, I mean, this is the times in which we live. And so now we're faced with a decision. We've got a replacement on the United States Supreme Court. And I want to talk about that today because it's going to be huge in 2016. And if he's replaced by a liberal, in my view, a liberal justice, we will have lost the United States Supreme Court for at least a generation. I mean, then the numbers just don't work out in our favor anymore. Issues like homosexual marriage, abortion, the Second Amendment, religious liberty, and so forth are down to one vote, and that was him. And now if Obama's able to put a liberal on the court, it tilts the scales on all of those issues. And so this is a really untimely death, obviously for his family, but for the nation at large, as we face now a magnanimous decision for president, who will put jurists on the court and then the nomination process this year. So what I wanted to do, I want to take a few minutes and play clips of Antonin Scalia on the issue of abortion. And this is the first clip, and this first clip talks about how he believes and how most conservative or originalists believe, and that is that certain things need to be left to the legislature, not for judges to decide.
Why are judges experts on these questions? What did I learn at Harvard Law School that gives me any more insight into whether there ought to be a right to assisted suicide, or whether there ought to be a right to homosexual sodomy, or whether there ought to be a right to abortion? Any more insight than Joe Sixpack? Why do we think we give these questions to judges? It absolutely befuddles me. The judges have no special qualification for this. They get it only because they're operating under very vague generalized treaties that I guess they could say they're forced into it. But they're no experts on that subject. Now, I believe in natural law, but I believe that in democratic political institutions, it's up to the people to decide what they think natural law demands.
Well, there you go. Some wisdom from Antonin Scalia. You rarely hear that anymore, right? Because what we have, we live in a kind of a culture now that accepts the idea that judges make law. And we find that at the lower courts. We see that in the U.S. Supreme Court. We've found that last year with the homosexual marriage decision. They just write into these opinions the right to abortion, the right to homosexual marriage, without the content, without that actually appearing in the Constitution. And what Antonin Scalia believed, and other originalists believe, is that should be left up to the legislature. It's called judicial restraint. Well, unfortunately, I think that's going out the window. There's very little restraint now without a man like him on the United States Supreme Court. There are still two conservative justices, in my opinion, and we'll talk about that in a second, who might be able to, you know, hold the tide if they can get some of the moderates or swing voters on their side. But let's play another clip here. This is Antonin Scalia talking about the right to abortion.
You think there ought to be a right to abortion? No problem. The Constitution says nothing about it. Create it the way most rights are created in a democratic society. Pass a law. And that law, unlike a constitutional right to abortion created by a court, can compromise. It can see. Oh, I was going to say it can split the baby. I should not use
it. Well, he had a sense of humor, too. That's what we loved about Antonin Scalia, talking about there is no right to abortion. The so-called right to privacy was made up out of thin air that extended to abortion. What a refreshing view of the role of the court that unfortunately now is going to be in a minority, and that the jurists on the court, now mostly liberal, will be making law as a regular case of fact. And that's scary for me as an American generally, but also someone who looks to the future to hopefully reverse decisions like Roe versus Wade and give it back to the state legislatures to decide. That's what we've been hoping for and been fighting for 43 years since Roe v. Wade was handed down. In the next segment, I'm going to play another clip about what Antonin Scalia felt about what the abortion issue hinges on, and that is what the court believes is what they call an undue burden put on women. That was basically come out of the Casey decision in 1992. But the stakes are really, really high right now. We've got President Obama saying he is going to put forward a nomination for the court. We have the Republican leadership with Mitch McConnell and others saying they're never going to hear, they're not going to have hearings on Obama's nomination. So we have this big, massive battle pending, the mother of all battles, probably this year in an election year, over the United States Supreme Court. And this has real relevance because in about 2 weeks, on March 2nd, the U.S. Supreme Court will be hearing probably the biggest abortion case since the Casey decision in 1992, and that is Whole Women's Health versus Hellerstedt. And this is a law that was passed in Texas restricting, requiring certain laws to go into effect to promote women's health at abortion mills, and such as agreements with hospitals to provide transfer agreements or transfers for women who might be subject to a botched abortion. These kinds of protections were put into existence by the legislature in Texas and challenged in the courts, and this is now making its way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And on March 2nd, Whole Women's Health versus Hellerstedt, one of the biggest decisions on abortions, probably the biggest one since Casey, will be heard by this court, which is now split 4-4 if you look at it in the most optimistic point of view. So what we're hoping for is that without Antonin Scalia as our fifth and deciding vote, that at least we can get a split on that decision, a split on that case, and then the lower court ruling will stand, which was in favor of the Texas law. We'll be right back. We're talking about Antonin Scalia and his legacy. You're listening to The Mark Harrington Show. Stick around.
What do other pro-life leaders think of Mark Harrington and Created Equal? Listen to Lila Rose of Live Action.
Just wanted to say that I stand 100% with the efforts of Created Equal, with getting the truth visually out to students on campuses and inspiring them and equipping them to have that debate with fellow students, to encourage them to really question their support for abortion and encourage them ultimately to see the humanity of the unborn child, the violence of abortion, and ultimately to join our side, which is the winning side, the side of life.
Mark Harrington is a missionary and free speech advocate, and Mark has been on the front line of the debate over abortion for over 20 years. Mark needs your prayers and financial support. Please support Mark and Created Equal by going to createdequal.net or send a check to Created Equal, Post Office Box 360502, Columbus, Ohio 43230. Your gifts are tax deductible.
know, even with the passing of Antonin Scalia, we're not going to back down. Whether the United States Supreme Court is on our side or not, we're not going to back down. In fact, in many ways, this makes me want to redouble our efforts to protect the most innocent among us, that is the preborn. The fact of the matter is we cannot be looking to Washington, D.C. to solve our problems. Whether we look to the Supreme Court or the presidency or the Congress of the United States, they aren't going to solve our problems. It's going to have to be solved starting with the church. Starting with the church to start speaking and teaching the Word of God and what it means and applying that to culture. Which means we need to be active. We need to be on the front line, speaking out in favor of the sanctity of human life, that all men are created equal, and against the shedding of innocent blood, that is abortion killing. So, with or without a majority on the United States Supreme Court, that doesn't change much for me. In fact, a lot of my friends were all depressed and bummed out about this, and yeah, it's bad news, sure. In the end game of trying to reverse Roe v. Wade, certainly it's a blow. It's a blow against that. But it doesn't change the day in and day in, day out work of an organization like Create Equal or individual Christians in trying to make a difference in their own communities. But here are the facts. Right now, as it stands, without the presence of Antonin Scalia on the United States Supreme Court, this is how I see it. You have Samuel Alito, Justice Clarence Thomas as your two solid conservatives, for certain. We can probably count on them when it comes to this upcoming March 2nd case regarding abortion. However, on the liberal side of things, we have Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Justice Stephen Breyer, and Justice Sotomayor, and Justice Kagan as the definitely as the liberal wing of the court. So you could look at it this way. We could still have 5-4, or I'm sorry, it would be 5-3 decisions, 4-4 decisions. That's what you're probably likely to see coming. In this upcoming issue, we don't know. We don't know where Justice Kennedy or Roberts will land. Because what they're going to be doing is reviewing this whole question of what is considered as an undue burden to a woman to procure an abortion, which has not been really litigated since the Casey decision in 1992. That's why this is so gigantic of a Supreme Court case. And I don't want to overemphasize this, but really, in the last 25 years, I don't think there would be a case that is bigger than this one. And I'm not going to go down the road of the conspiracy theorists saying that Scalia was murdered, but certainly that was not handled well. I could do an entire program on all of the theories and all that seems to be a little bit sketchy and fishy on his death. I don't think it really matters at this point. It is what it is. We've lost him as a vote on the court when it regards to the First Amendment, religious liberty, abortion, gay rights, those kinds of things. We don't have him, and we're never going to get him back, and it's unlikely we'll ever get somebody like him back on the court in this day and age. So it is what it is. But the timing couldn't have been worse because of this decision, this case coming up in the court regarding the Texas law on abortion. So what I want to do here, I want to play a clip again from Antonin Scalia talking about this issue of undue burden, this new test, so to speak, as to whether an abortion law meets constitutional muster or not.
Roe versus Wade in its new incarnation, which is a case called Casey.
Yes.
Casey, in fact, while saying we will never overrule Roe, overruled Roe. It threw out the trimester system, and the new test of unconstitutionality is whether the state law in question places an undue burden on the woman's right to abortion. All right, that comes before me as a judge. Huh? How am I supposed to answer that question? Being a lawyer, I would normally run to the law books and see, you know,
what's an undue burden?
For two centuries, no burden was an undue burden. You could prohibit it entirely. So you know, what do you think? How do you think we're going to decide the next case that comes up? Let's say a state law that requires a certain staffing of abortion facilities, so many nurses, so many doctors, expensive equipment, all of which raises the price of abortion, okay? The claim is this place is an undue burden. What do you think we're going to talk about? I guarantee it will be, you know, doctors, nurses, I don't think it's an undue. You think it's an undue burden? How many think it's an undue burden? You know, it's five hands it is, four hands it isn't. It's not law.
Justice Scalia was prophetic because that's exactly what's before the court coming up on March 2nd. That is, they are going to revisit this question of what is an undue burden. Is it an undue burden to require that an abortion facility have a transfer agreement with a hospital to transfer a patient in an emergency situation? And because these transfer agreements have not been agreed to by most of the hospitals, a lot of these abortion mills in Texas, and for that matter in Ohio, who have a similar law on the books, which, by the way, is also indirectly before the court, does that create an undue burden? That is going to be before the U.S. Supreme Court on March 2nd. And our strongest voice, our strongest ally, the one who believes in the original intent of the Constitution that said there is no right to abortion in the text of the U.S. Constitution or Bill of Rights, is not there. And we have two jurists that will defend that position for certain, and we're not sure about the other two, Justice Kennedy and Justice Roberts, who have been kind of on both sides of a lot of issues recently. So this sets up this battle royale, the mother of all battles, here on March 2nd, and then just the nomination process that President Obama is going to undertake and the advise and consent process of the United States Senate. Obama said he's going to nominate. That's his obligation, a prerogative as a president. Lots of people are appealing to him, saying, listen, it's an election year. You should let the American people decide, based on the results of the election, how to fill this very significant seat on the court, which I happen to agree with. But do you really expect that President Obama is not going to take advantage of this opportunity to finish his the job of fundamentally changing America? Do you really think his opportunity here to change the court for decades, if not a generation, he's not going to seize that chance? Of course not. We knew he was going to do that. So he's going to do that. The U.S. Senate has said they're not going to hear that nominee. I tend to think that they're going to cave, folks. I mean, that's what we've seen in the past. Mitch McConnell has been a lot of words and little action in the past. And just recently, of course, with the election of 2014, he said he was going to repeal the executive amnesty and funding of that and Obamacare. And on the day after the election, said he's not going to do it because it might shut down the government. So we have a precedent here that Mitch McConnell and the Senate tend to not do what they say they're going to do during an election year. But hope springs eternal, and I'm praying and hoping, and we're working to give the Senate the backbone to stand up against Obama's nominee for the United States Supreme Court to replace Antonin Scalia. I'll be going to Washington on March 2nd to be part of that hearing. I'll be there to listen to the arguments and to speak on defense of the preborn. Folks, pray for us as we go. If you want to join us, go to our website at createdequal.org. We've got several van loads of folks going to the historic hearing on one of the most important abortion cases to be heard before the Supreme Court in 25 years. And unfortunately, without the advocate of Antonin Scalia. But we're not going to give up. We're going to continue to fight, folks. And you stand with us as well, please. Pray for us. Support us financially if you can. Go to createdequal.org and help us out financially. God bless you. God bless America, and remember, America. To bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net, createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.